Okay, let's pick up at the very bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis by the Hashemen Shalhen, by those two dots. So the Gemara says, Shemen, when it comes to oil, we said in the Mishnah that oil is one of the things that when you get oil from a guy, it's a problem. It's not asr b'achil, it's not asr for consumption, but it is asr b'anai. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. So Shemen is machlokas amaraim. What exactly is the issue with Shemen akum? Rav Amar Daniel Gazar Alav. Rav says that the issue with Shemen is that Daniel made a decree against oil. Oil obtained from Gaim. Ushmul Amar, and Shmuel says, Zlifasan shall Kalim Tmeim Usartan. It is the Zlifasan of Kalim Tmeim, of contaminated Kalim, that is what prohibits them. Now, what does this mean? The way that Rashi understands the word Zlifasan, it's a little bit of a discussion. The Baal Tosfos have a slightly different understanding of what the word means. But Rashi understands that Zlifasan refers to the emission of, in other words, that the Kalim that the oil might have been put into were Kalim that had been previously used for things that are not kosher. And therefore the Kalim would have absorbed forbidden flavor, you know, the tam of Isser, into the walls of the Kalim. And now that there's oil in those Kalim, the oil is going to, catch all of those, blios, all of those flavors, the forbidden flavors that have been absorbed into the walls of the Kalim are now going to come seeping out into the oil. And now this oil that you get from the guy has this forbidden flavor in it. Now, what you should note is, I basically, spoiled the punchline of the Gemara, but if you note, at this stage in the Gemara says, Lefasin shel kelim tameim. The emitted flavors from the kelim that are tummy, that are contaminated. That's what forbids these the oil of gaim. And so the Gemara says, what do you mean kelim tameim? Atu kuli ama okle taharos ninu? Is it that the whole world eats food that are taharos? Meaning to say as follows, what it sounds like in the Havmin of the Gemara is that when we look at Shmuel's statement, it sounds like what Shmuel's saying is that there is the iser, the blios, the absorbed flavor in the walls of these kalim, of the gayim, is a problem because the kalim themselves are tame, which means that now that oil, is soaking up the tam of those kalim, that's a problem because now the oil is tame. That's what it sounds like. Which would mean then that if the oil is tummy, then why is that a problem for a Jew? There's no problem with it for a Jew to eat, to consume tummy oil. So the only problem would be is if you are a person who eats food that are taharos. So then maybe there's an issue. If you eat food that's only supposed to be tar or truma or whatever, so then there's a problem. So that's what Gemara says. Are the whole world ochli taharos nenu? That they have to be concerned about the oil obtained from gayim, if the gayim had them in contaminated kalim? So elos lifasan shel kalim asurin osartan. Rather, what is the issue? It's because of the tam that's emitted from kalim that are asurin, that are forbidden. In other words, kalim that had been used for non-kosher food. So then that's where there's an issue. In other words, the concern is that a guy used some sort of a pot that he, cooked up tray food in, and now he's using this pot in order to put oil into it, and now he's going to give you this oil that was kept in that pot. So the oil contains flavor, iser flavor from the previous thing the pot was used for. And that's the issue. Okay, but either way, what emerges is that it seems to be, from the simple reading of the Gemara, is that there's machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What exactly is the issue with Shemen Akum? Rav says the issue is that Daniel made a gzera against Shemen Akum, and Shmuel says that the issue over here is that the Shemen that you get from Gaim might have been put in Kalim that were used for Isser, and now the oil contains these, flavor, Tam Isser in that oil. Okay, so it says Gemara as follows. Armalei Shmuel Rav. Shmuel said to Rav, Bishlam Ladidi, it's all good according to me, Da Amina Zlifasan Shalkel Masur Nasartan, that I hold that the issue with Shemen Akum is this issue of Zlifasan Shalkel Masurin. So then Hainu Tiki Asa, then that makes a lot of sense. That which Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta came, Va'amar, and he said, Darsh Rabbi Simlai, the Rabbi Simlai Darshan bin Netzivan, he Darshaned in Netzivan the following. What did he teach in Netzivan? Shemen, he said, Shemen Rabbi Huda Ubeistino. Nimnu lavihitiru, that Rabbi Yehuda and his bezin, they tallied up and they mattered it. They permitted the oil. In other words, they revoked that Isser that Chazal had put in place. Rabbi Yehuda came along and he permitted this oil. And again, as we talked about before, this is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, meaning Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the person who compiled the Mishnayos. This is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's grandson. So now, So now, if you learn like me, says Shmuel, then I can understand what Rav Simlai was darshaning, that Yehuda Nasi was able to come along and matter the oil. Why? What was he doing? Kasavar, he thought, he held, nosin tam lefgam mutter, that when you have a contribution of flavor that is lefgam, that is permitted. In other words, a lefgam is, when something is to taint, that's literally what the word would mean. And now, this is a discussion we'll get into. We've spoken about it in the past briefly. It's a discussion we'll discuss more at length in the last parak of Avodah Zarah. The basic idea over here is as follows, that normally we say, when you have a piece of iser, a piece of chelev, a piece of, forbidden fat, or a piece of nevela, of meat that wasn't shechted properly. So why is it? It's usher because the piece of meat itself, the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat a piece of meat from an animal that wasn't shechted, or you're not allowed to eat a piece of chilev. But what about if I'm not looking at the piece of chilev itself? Let's say some of the chilev, some of this forbidden fat, was melted into my mashed potatoes. And now I can't see the chilev. All I see is that there's mashed potatoes in front of me, and they were flavored. There's a little bit of fat mixed into these mashed potatoes that are melted into the mashed potatoes. So there, I'm not looking at the chilev itself, I'm looking at tam of chilev. I'm dealing with tam of chilev, I'm dealing with the flavor of chilev. So there, the halacha is that if there's a contribution of flavor, of iser, that is l'shvach, that is a good flavor, that contributes something pleasant, so then there is a problem. But if it's nosin tam lefgam, that the iser itself, let's say it's chelev that had become all moldy and disgusting, that's one version of tam pagam. Another is that when it comes to kalim, where you have kalim, that what exactly is the issue normally with kalim? So normally the issue is that if a guy, let's say, uses a pot to cook pork in, so a few minutes later, let's say he finishes using it and he cleans out the pot, and now a Jew wants to use that pot to cook chicken soup. So, assuming that the pork has absorbed, there's been some flavor of pork that's absorbed on the walls of this pot. So now, when a Jew cooks up chicken soup in it, the pork flavor seeps out of the walls of the kli. And goes into the chicken soup and enhances the flavor of the chicken soup. But that's only an issue when it's enhancing the flavor of the chicken soup. But what about if it's not enhancing the flavor of the chicken soup? Then there's no problem, at least strictly speaking. So therefore, what his point is as follows. Normally the halacha is that when you have kalim, that have been recently used, with our case of pork, the guy uses the pot for pork, he cooks a pork, and a few minutes later the Jew wants to use it for pork, for a chicken soup. But what about if it only be a few days later? So the general rule is that if you have something that's not a benyoma, something that had been used within 24 hours, or according to others, it might be that it hasn't been used overnight. The last time it was used was before yesterday, but now it's been a full night since it was used. Either way, at that point, the flavor that's in the walls of the kli is no longer going to contribute a tam shvach, a tam that is l'shvach, that's a pleasant flavor. It's only going to contribute an unpleasant flavor. So the halach is, when you're dealing with tam pagam, or the contribution of flavor is not a pleasant contribution of flavor, so then it's permitted. So now I can understand what's going on. Rabbi Yehuda and Bezino, they could come along and they can matter the oil. Why? Because they hold that nosin tam lefgam is mutter, and therefore the kalim of gayim are kalim that might contain tam of iser in it, but that tam of iser is tam pogum. We say that the stam of kalim of gaim is in bin yoman, that they have been used for 24 hours, and so the time in it is not usher, and it's only tam pogum, so there's no problem. So I can understand then why Rabbi Yehuda is going to come along and matter the oil of gaim. But according to you, Rav, the Amr, that you say, Daniel Gazalev, that it's Daniel who made a decree not to have the oil of Gaim, that you can't consume of the oil of Gaim. Daniel is going to make a decree, the Asr of Yehuda HaNasi Mevatale, and then Yehuda HaNasi is going to come along and he's going to cancel that decree. How can you do that? Vatanan, I thought we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Bezin Yachal Avatal Devri Bezin Chavero. A Bezin is not allowed to come along and nullify and cancel the words of a Bezin. It's of a bezin chaveru, bezin. It's another bezin. Elam kin gadol himenu b'chach meminin. Unless the later bezin is greater in wisdom and in minin and in numbers. In other words, Rabbi Danasi does not have the authority to revoke, to rescind something that Daniel, which was who had a bezin of much greater chachma than Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's best. And so how could Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi come along and do that? Okay, so Amalei, so Rav says back to Shmuel, Simlai Luda Ka'amrit, you're bringing me rayas from Simlai. You said that Rabbi Simlai told me, he darshened in Netzivin, that Shemen, that when it comes to oil, Rabbi Yehuda ben Zino came along and they mattered it. So Rav says, you're bringing me kashas from Simlai, Luda Ka'amrit, Simlai, the person who's from Luda, he's from Lud. You're telling me that Simlai from Lud, that's where you're telling me, that's where you have Tainus and my Havana in Shemen? Shani Luda, the Ludai, the people from Lud are different. The Mizalzulu, they belittle the words of Chazal. They don't have the right respect for the authority of Chazal. And so you can't ask me kashas from things that Simlai came along and darshaned. So Amalei, so Shmuel said back to Rav, should I send that to him? Should I send over to Rabbi Simlai that's how you feel about his statement? So Rav was embarrassed about that. Apparently, Rabbi Simlai was not so far off the beaten track that Rav should undermine. Okay, but either way, this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel about the nature of the Isser on Shem and Akum, is it that Daniel came along and made a decree, or is it that it was just a decree because of Zlifas and Shalkim Tamein, and then Rav Yehuda Hanasi comes along and he rescinds that Gezerah. Why? Because he holds Nosan Tam of Gam is Mutter. So says the Gemara as follows. Amar Rav, Rav said, Imheim lo darshu, anan lo darshinan. So now Rav's response is really as follows. Rav says, look, maybe if they didn't darshan it, we can't darshan it, meaning to say, if they didn't darshan, if Rav Yehuda Hanasi didn't darshan the pasuk to understand that this is something that Daniel originated, we can't darshan the pasuk. I can't show you that Daniel is the one who originated it. Vaksiv, it's a pasuk. If you take a look in the pasuk of Daniel, the opening pasuk of Daniel discuss how Nebuchadnezzar took, the Jews are put into galus, and part of this galus is that Nebuchadnezzar has now taken some of the kingdom of the Beis Mikdash, and he tells his chief officer, I need a group of people that I need to raise up as, you know, the aristocrats, that they're going to be good, upstanding members of Persian society. And so they gather together a group of small kids, small Jewish kids. And, you know, this is the story of Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azaria. So Daniel is one of the kids, and they raise him in the palace. And they raised them up, as high-standing members in society. And one of the things that happens at the beginning of this story is that they are giving them to drink, giving them to eat. He says, I want you to make them good, healthy boys. And so, and of course, they read up also. And so that part of their diet that they give them anything that's being eaten in the palace is what these Jewish boys are being given to eat, and Daniel refuses to eat the diet, to eat this food. He says, you know, how about you give me some vegetables instead? So what do you see in those pesukim? Doesn't the pasuk say Vayasim Daniel alibo, that Daniel put, literally that would mean he put it on his heart, he took it upon himself, asher lo yizgal bepas bag hamelech, that he would not be like dirtied up, defiled with the bread, the pas bag, the bread food that they would eat, the bread of the melech, of the king, ubiyayin mishtav, or the wine of his drinks. Now, what do you see from this pasuk, says Rav? B'shtei mishtos hakatzim adaber. The pasuk is talking about two mishtos, two drinks. When it says ubiyayin mishtav, his drinks. So what does that mean? His drinks. Echad mishtav yayin, one is the drink of wine. Echad mishtav shemen, one is the drink of oil. In other words, what Rav is saying is that what do you see from these pesukim of Daniel? You see that Daniel himself was careful not to eat the bread of the melech, or to eat the wine or the oil from the king. So you see that he held that Shemen Akum is a problem, and Daniel was not partaking in that food. So, and that's where Rav is responding to Shmuel. He's saying, look, maybe Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't see in these pesukim what I see, but I darshan these pesukim that way. So Rav Savar, Rav thought from this pasuk, how do you read this pasuk when it says Vayasim Daniel Alibo? Rav Savar Alibo Sam, that he put it on his heart. In other words, he took it upon himself. Ula Kol Yisrael Hora, and to all of Klal Yisrael, he basked in this way, that this is what he issued. Ushmul Savar, and Shmuel thought, alibosam, that Daniel put it out, he took it upon himself that way, ulakol yisrael lohar, but he didn't pass on this for the masses, this was something that he himself observed. Okay, and that's what's going on. So Rav felt that Daniel was a person whose goals are not to have Shem and Akum. Continuing in the Gemara says, wait a second, Shem and Daniel gozer? Again, Rav is telling us now that Daniel was gozer not to have Shem and Akum. V'ha'amar bali abimi nota mishmet Rav. I thought Bali came along and he said, b'shem Rav. What did he say? Pita nushmenan yenan ubnosean kulan mishmona asr davarhim. That their bread, the pasakum and shemen akum and yain akum and binosean, their daughters, all of those things are from the 18 things. What 18 things? These are the 18 things that we talked about in Masech Shabbos in the first parak over there, when it talks about how Beisham and Beisil got together, and there was a time where Beisham outnumbered Beisil, and so they went up into the, that's when they were in the attic of Hananiah, and they got together and they made 18 gezeres, and one of the 18 things. So Rav apparently was quoted by Bali as having said that Pas, Akum, and Shem and Akum were among the list and of things that they were gozer, that Beisham and Beisil were gozer. So it wasn't Daniel who made a decree about Shem and Akum, it was Beisham and Beisil. So says the Gemara, V'chitim asa Daniel gozer v'lo kibo. Now maybe you're going to tell me that Daniel was a person, he made a gezer originally, and no one accepted it. V'asa tamidi dehilo shamai v'gozer v'kibo. And then the tamidim of Hillel and Shammai came along, and they made a gezer, and then everyone did accept it. In Cain, if that's true, maya sadusi derav. Then what exactly is Rav testifying about? In other words, why is Rav saying, you know, so assertively that it was Daniel made a gezerah? Who cares if Daniel made a gezerah? No one accepted it when Daniel made the gezerah. It wasn't a full force gezerah. So why would he be so insistent about saying that it was Daniel who made the gezerah if that were the case? So what's going on? What was it? Daniel made the gezerah, or was it the Tamid Shammai v'Hillel that made this gezerah? So says the Gemara, Elo Daniel gozer lo be'ir. What happened was that Daniel made a gezerah about it, about consuming Shem and Akum in this city. And then Tamid Shammai v'Hillel came along and they said, v'gozer afil basar. They made a decree even out in the field. Okay, so now says the Gemara, wait a second. Rav Yudah Nasi, heichi matzi l'mishra takanta to Tamid Shammai v'Hillel. Okay, but either way, at the end of the day, how could Rav Yudah Nasi come along and permit a takana that was enacted by the Tamidim of Shammai and Hillel? But tonight I will learn in the Mishnah, ein bezin yachol avatel devei bezin chavero. A bezin is not able to cancel out the ruling of another bezin, elem kein gadol imenu b'chachma v'minyan, unless they are greater in chachma and in numbers. And there's no way that Rav Yudah Nasi, who lived several generations after Tamid Shammai v'Hillel, was able to amount to that. The Odin. Furthermore, Hara Amar Abba Bar Bachanim Rav Yochanan, Bekol Yoch Levato Bezin Divrei Bezin Chaveru. For anything, one bezin is allowed to cancel the words of another bezin. You're allowed to cancel and nullify the rulings of another bezin. Chutz Mishmon Asadavar, with exception of the 18 things. Shafil Yavo Eliyahu, based, you know, that even if Eliyahu and his bezin would come along, Ein Shomelo, we do not listen to that. In other words, we know that there is a Mishnah. Mishnah says that you're not allowed to cancel the ruling, halach, the psak of one bezin, unless you're, you know, bigger in Chachman and Minyan. And that itself is a question on, you know, how could Rav Yudah Nasi come along and cancel what Daniel said, what Tamid Shammai v'Hillel said? But even without that mission, we're going to have problems, because Rav Yochanan said that the only time that mission applies is if we're dealing with anything other than Shimon Asur Davar. Well, we've already concluded that this was on the list of Shimon Asur Davar. So how could Rav Yudah Nasi come along and do this? So says the Gemara, Amr of Mesharshia. Mesharshia said, Matam. What's the reason for this? Holu pashut isura barov Yisrael. That's because the Isser became widespread in Rove of Yisrael. Because it was adopted by the majority of Kla Yisrael, that's where we say this. Shemen lo pashut isura barov Yisrael. But Shemen, the gzera against the oil, Shemen Akum, that was not spread out to all of, to the majority of Kla Yisrael. The Amr of Shmuel bar Abba, Amr of Yochanan, as Rav Shmuel bar Abba quoted from Rav Yochanan, Yashvu Rabbeinu Ubatku al Shemen, the Chacham sat down and they checked into Shemen, Shlo Pashat Yisur Barov Yisrael, that it did not spread to be adopted by all of Klal Yisrael as being us, that Shemen Akum should be a problem. V'samchu Rabbeinu al Divrei Rav Shmuel Liel, and they based what they were saying on Rav Shmuel Liel, they relied on Rav Shmuel Liel, Val Divrei Relaz Bar Tzadok, and on Rav Elazar Tzedek Shayomer that they said in Gozrin Gezera Latzibor Elam Kin Rov Tzibor Yicholim La'aman Ba. You're not allowed to make a Gezera on the Tzibor, on the masses, unless the majority of the masses are able to handle it. If they're not able to handle it, it doesn't work. Amar Rav Adibar Ava, as Rav Adibar Ava said, my kra, what's the pasuk for this? The pasuk says, b'me'era, b'me'era atem ne'orim, with the curse, you were cursed, v'osi atem kovim hagai kulo, and you, and me, atem kovim, you steal, hagai kulo, the whole nation. What's going on? This is the pasuk of Malachi, where Akash Baruch was saying, you guys accepted upon yourself with a curse, meaning that if you don't abide by this, you're accepting upon yourself to be cursed, so b'me'era atem ne'orim, you accepted upon yourself with a curse. The OC and me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Kovim, you are stealing from me. Hagai Kulo, the whole nation is doing this, meaning that you are stealing from me, you're taking things that you accepted as Asher Bana, you're having enough from anyway, from all those things that you accepted as Asher. And either way, what do you see from this Pasuk of Malachi? You see, it's Hagai Kulo, Ik Hagai Kulo, if you have the whole nation that have accepted it in, then yeah, that's where there's a problem. Low, but if not, then there is no problem. Okay, so one second, let's piece this all together. Again, what was the question? The question was, how could Rav Yudah HaNasi come along and revoke a takana that was made by Tamir Shammai VeHillel? And we know that Shemen was on the list of things that Tamir Shammai VeHillel were goats, right? And it was one of the Shemona Asur Davar. So what the Gemara explains is, Shemen was a different story. Shemen was a different story that because the majority of Klal Yisrael had not accepted it, so it wasn't, the Gezer was not in effect. And we know that if you don't have the majority of Klal Yisrael accepting or able to abide by a certain gezeira, it does not get off the ground. It is not a full-blown gezeira, and therefore that's why Rav Yudah HaNasi is able to come along later and be machter it, because it never took effect as a full-blown gezeira. Okay, so just to summarize very briefly, what do we have in this Gemara? For starters, we had machlokas between Rav and Shmuel with regard to the Isra and Shemen Akam. Where does it come from? So Rav says it's Daniel who made a Gezerah and Shemen Akam. Shmuel says it's actually a Gezerah because of the Kalim that Gaim used for this oil. And the Kalim of Gaim is an issue because it contains Tam of the Isra. So now Shmuel explains it. Okay, so when Rav Yudah HaNasi comes along, and he permits the Shem and Akum, that's because he holds an Osan Tam of Gam is permitted. But what about according to Rav? If Daniel was a person who was Gozer, how could Rav Yudah HaNasi come along and permit Shem and Akum? If it had been prohibited for all of Klal Yisrael by Daniel. So what Rav basically explains is, for starters, is that when Daniel was Gozer, so it is true, Daniel was Gozer, and he was Gozer for all of Klal Yisrael, but Daniel was Gozer only for the city, and it was not decreed upon him for the fields. That was enacted by Tamid Hashem of the Hill. And how is this explained? How is it that Rav Yudah HaNasi was able to rescind anything? The answer is that it was not fully accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Because it was not accepted by Rov of Klal Yisrael, that allows Rav Yudah HaNasi to come along later and permit this oil. So according to Shmuel, how is Rav Yudah HaNasi able to come along and permit the oil? Well, the answer is that it was, he held that Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter. And according to Rav would explain that the reason that Rav Yudah HaNasi is able to come along and permit this oil is that it wasn't accepted as a widespread Gezerah, and therefore wasn't a full-blown Gezerah, which leaves the door open to permit it later. And there is a long discussion about which parts of this Gemara are problematic for Rav only or for Shmuel only, and that's, there's a lot of Torah in the Balatosis over here in the Rishonim, but I guess not for now. Okay, let's hold here.